This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio 94 WIP, Tom Kelly and Dan Wilson with you on a Friday, filling in for the midday show. Now, is Dan, do you prefer Dan to be your hosting name, or can you still go by Buzz?
So my take on this has always been the same. I introduce myself. If someone says, like, what is your name? I'll say Dan Wilson, whatever. But Buzz has been made my nickname here in the station by you, by the afternoon show, by even people in the hallway here. I think the best nicknames are driven by other people. I think people who go around at like the king, for instance, who says I'm the king as opposed to I'm Howard. I think that's kind of lame.
Well, I didn't make it your nickname. I only call you Buzz because you said Buzz was your nickname.
No, Mike.
Mike Angelina told me to call
Mike
you Buzz.
Got wind of the fact that my nickname was Buzz.
And why do your friends call you Buzz, by the way?
Because I'm a buzzkill.
Oh, that's a rough nickname, man.
And I was given it in sixth grade. It's held. You want to talk about something that's aged well? The name Buzzkill. I would not have guessed that when someone gave me the name Buzzkill in 2009, that I'd be called that in the year 2024 on WIP.
Yeah, and hey, I mean, sometimes nicknames do just carry over, like unsolicited too. Like you said, it's not good when you tell people this is what
that's
my
not genuine. That's not.
But my whole life, people have called me TK. I don't know if they're just initials that
cool
they
initials
go well
to
together.
They do.
Cool initials? Wow, you give me a compliment?
I am giving you a compliment. Like TK, like obviously Travis Konecny on the Flyers, like people call him TK. Tony Kornheiser, for years part of the eruption, they call him TK. Like I think TK goes better than like, I'm not trying to.
DW?
Well, even though
that's what Jody calls you, DW?
DW. Well, I used to, when I was a really little kid, this is probably a little bit past your time. That's not an old joke. I'm just being serious here. The show Arthur, the annoying little sister, is named DW. So people in elementary school used to be like, oh, you're DW. Like, I haven't gotten that in a while. But that used to be a thing. But like, for instance, I'm not trying to rag on Fran here, but like, FR doesn't exactly roll off the tongue.
Yeah,
you know
it's
what
horrible.
I mean?
No, I agree.
Like, those are horrible initials to say. TK, that sounds like a cool nickname.
Yeah.
Or like JR Smith, that goes well together. You know what I mean? Like, there are certain initials that I think you can abbreviate, and that could be your name. You could just go by TK, and people will go with it.
Yeah, I get you. I just didn't know, like, if
you know,
as we're coming back from breaks and stuff, if I should refer to you as Dan or Buzz. I feel like Buzz is like your producing nickname, and Dan is your
is that
professional
right?
hosting name.
Whatever you want. Again,
okay.
It's driven by you.
Right.
People know me as both on the station. Sometimes I can tell. I'll pick up the phone like when I'm producing afternoons and they're at Chickie's, and they'll be like, hey, what's up, Jack? I'm like, oh, actually not Jack today. They'll be like, who is it? I'll be like, Dan. They'll be like, who? It'll be like, oh, it's Buzz. I'm like, oh, now I know. So sometimes I have to create the association for people, but I'm good with either.
There you go, Buzz. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But talking about a number of topics today. Obviously a lot of Eagles as a really big game on Sunday, and this is going to be an exciting game as the Eagles take on the Ravens. One of the premier matchups, I'd say not just this week, but in the NFL this year. It's going to be pretty exciting to see how the Eagles defense can stack up against this Baltimore offense. I mean, they're number one offense in the league. They have put up points on pretty much everybody. You look at last week, that Chargers defense is damn good, and the Ravens were able to score. I think this is going to be a really good measuring stick of where this team is at this point. And I expect the Eagles to go down there and win the game. I know, Buzz, you are more of the thinking that, hey, if they win, great. But if you go down, you play hard, you have a good effort, we're all going to be happy. Sunshines and rainbows on Monday.
Singing kumbaya, Tom.
No,
singing kumbaya, TK.
I expect the Eagles to go down there and win this football game on Sunday.
You're not even like a little nervous. You're not even like a little like trepidatious or thinking that you know they might have a difficult time winning this game.
A difficult time, sure, but I expect the Eagles to win. Like I think they are the better team than Baltimore. And when I look at the NFL right now, I think the Eagles are pretty much better than anybody. Like I really
so you expect
do.
Them to just win every game they play.
The rest of the year, yeah, I do.
So
especially
if
they beat Baltimore, and I'm picking them to win this game. I don't think they lose another game on their schedule.
Are you willing to say, if you believe that, right here at 11:06 a.m. on November 29th, Black Friday, that you believe the Eagles will win Super Bowl 59?
I'm not going to guarantee a Super Bowl victory.
I'm not saying guarantee, but do you believe it'll happen if you think they're better than everyone?
I think they should go to the Super Bowl.
I think they absolutely should go. You said they're better than anyone.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
You're hedging now.
We'll see what happens. It does feel the Bills have the vibes on their favor. It feels like a Bills year.
So the Eagles are better than anyone, but the Bills have the vibes.
I think the Eagles and Bills are the two best teams in football right now. That's where I fall.
So that's going to be a tough week in the Macnow household.
Yeah,
if that happens.
And I'll tell you what, man. That's moving forward. I heard Rob and Devin talking a little bit today about the flex situations moving forward here. Weird situation when the Eagles play the Steelers, where Eagles Steelers and Bills Lions are both at 425. There's no way both
those
games stay there.
One of those games feels like it goes to Sunday night. And the Eagles have already been flexed out of Sunday night.
But the Sunday night game's Packers-Seahawks. That's not a bad game. So are you going to flex one of those games to like 1 o'clock to put it in a standalone time slot?
I don't know who, like, which networks have the games, one on Fox and one on CBS.
That's what I'm unsure of. I don't know who's got it.
I look into that really quickly. But I know the Eagles have already been flexed out of Sunday night this year. So that I know they definitely have an opening to be flexed back in. I can't remember the last time the Eagles... It would be actually quite amazing if the Eagles played this well. They're like the two seed in the NFC. I guess teams generally who win 13, 14, potentially 15 games don't usually end up on Sunday Night Football just once. Feels like at some point they're getting a second one.
Yeah, I'm sure they will at some point here. 215-592-9494. So you think the Eagles need to go down there and make a statement on Sunday. And Eagles versus Lions, that was one of the big storylines yesterday, is watching the Detroit Lions kind of struggle to get past the Chicago Bears. Do you believe that the Eagles are the better team? And if they play an NFC Championship game in Detroit, would you expect the Eagles to win that game? I obviously would love the Eagles to get the one seed, love to get the bye, make things a lot easier. But I expect the Eagles to beat the Lions in Detroit if they play in the NFC Championship game. Buzz, you are not there yet.
I'm not there yet. I think this season, if you had to ask me the most likely scenario right now, I think there's a very good chance they end in the NFC Championship game. But it does feel, you want to talk about the vibes, like it feels like the Lions are the team to beat in the NFC.
There you go. And our side topic today, give us something that has aged well. As my kids, they're 3 years old and 2 years old. They are obsessed with The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz was made in 1939. Yet even kids in the 2020s are still into Wizard of Oz. I can't think of another something else like that. Like, what else is still relevant from the 30s? Nothing.
That's a tough one. I mean, how much pop culture still exists from the 30s? How many movies have... I don't know if I've seen another movie in the 30s. I don't know if I've heard a song that's that old.
And it doesn't need to be like pop culture related. It could be anything. I thought yours of Brandon Graham was a very good one. Something that's gotten better with age. So give us something that has aged well off of The Wizard of Oz. Let's go back to the phones here. Let's go to Keith in the Northeast. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Tom, Dan, how you guys doing?
Doing well, Keith. How about you?
Good, good. So, Tom, I got to bust your stones a little bit, and maybe you too, Dan. I'm getting tired of all this conversation about the Detroit Lions in the NFC Championship game. Let me give you guys a revelation. Detroit's not going to win their division. Detroit's not going to win their division. When you look at what their schedule is, they had the Packers, they had the Vikings, they had the Bills. And you look at the way they've been playing the last two games, I don't think Detroit's going to win their division.
Well, we'll see, Keith. I'll tell you what, man. I watched that game last night. Packers looked damn good last night.
That's my point exactly. And those are division games. That division is completely stacked. I don't think the Vikings are even out of it when you look at their schedule juxtaposed against what the Lions have to do. So who the heck has crowned, Detroit King of the Hill? I certainly haven't, and I certainly don't think that they're better than the Eagles long term. So I'm not convinced that the Eagles will necessarily be the number one seed. I still think one of the other Packers or the Vikings could still edges out, but I'm certainly not handing it to Detroit.
Listen, if they don't win the division, then the Eagles probably do have the inside track of the number one seed, and they could probably do so even losing this game on Sunday. You lose this game on Sunday, you win out.
They have the, like, say if the Packers won the North, the Eagles would
have the tiebreaker on them. Direct. So it doesn't go to...
I get that. I'm just not convinced, considering how things are going to go, whether the Eagles will be, whether they're going to win out. I'm not certain of that. I'm of the mindset that this weekend, and I know you guys won't agree with me, I think this weekend, quite frankly, is a stress-free game. I really do. You look at the game, it's not a conference game. It's coming off a short week. If they go in there outside of getting blown out, I don't think my mindset about who the Eagles are going to change at all. So I think this is a game from a fan perspective that we can watch and just kind of really chill out and not put ourselves in in a place where we need to, you know, get the Pepto-Bismol out.
That was articulated well. My impression of who the Eagles are is likely not going to change on Sunday. It might take a step up. It might take like a bonus step up if they go down and win this game and make a statement. But if they lose a close game, like Tom, your confidence in the Eagles is going to appreciably lower if they lose this game.
Well, obviously, like it depends how it happens. But
I'm saying a close game,
right? I just hate going into a game thinking, you know. If you lose it, it's no big deal. I think it is a big deal. You need to rack up all the wins you can to get this one seed.
We're not on the team. I'm not saying they should have this mindset in the locker room. I'm talking about us as fans, as hosts.
Perspective, right.
I still don't have that mindset. Yeah. What do you have for a side topic, Keith?
You know, I don't know whether you guys will think this is more tradition than anything, but when you look at what the options are today and you look at what eating habits are, how in the heck has Thanksgiving turkey survived? I mean, Thanksgiving turkeys, is it that tasty? I don't know whether it is.
What should it be replaced with?
It could. That's my point. It could be replaced with a number of different things,
like pizza,
right?
Thanksgiving pizza?
Well, no, I get what you're saying, Keith, and I appreciate the call, man. Thanks. I think the point that Keith is making, and I totally agree with him, is there's always the talk about the Thanksgiving turkey. The turkey is not what I'm going to the Thanksgiving table for. I want the sides. I want all that other stuff.
Of course. No, the turkey as the main course is really not the main event. You know, the mac and cheese, the mashed potatoes, the stuffing, everything, the cornbread. That's all the main event. The turkey is a staple out of tradition.
Yeah.
That people, I think most people are in agreement on that, to be honest.
Yeah, it's more traditional. But, I mean, like, nobody's going to the Thanksgiving table saying, oh, I can't wait to get my hands on that turkey.
I do like turkey, though. Like, I'll eat it other times. Like turkey sandwiches I eat pretty frequently.
Well, yes, but if you're going to the Thanksgiving dinner,
you know, it's not the number one.
Right.
It's not at the top of anyone's list.
Yeah, you're going for all the other stuff. So I would agree, you know, turkey, you could kind of do without it on Thanksgiving. I know it probably sounds blasphemous, but I could do without the turkey. If all the stuff I ate yesterday, there are five things that I would want to keep before the turkey, if I had to get rid of one. What's your take then, Fran? As I kind of stutter
a little
bit.
Turkey on Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Turkey is phenomenal. It's the best part. Well,
what's
it's
better,
like the second best part.
Turkey or stuffing?
Stuffing's horrible. Stuffing's so
bad. Oh, get out of here.
Bad. And my mom was like, oh, well, tonight, why don't you try putting gravy on it? Let's see if you like it. I tried it, like, you know, like a big boy. I tried it, and
like
it still sucked.
Like a big boy. You're 29.
Yeah, it still sucked. It still sucks.
What about mashed potatoes?
Did you make sure you ate your vegetables too? Or
No, I'm not in the green beans. Can't do that. What'd you say? What was the last one you just said?
Mashed potatoes.
They're fine. But gravy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
By the way, do you know Fran's mom critiques my halftime reports?
I did not know this.
Yeah.
I know she's an avid listener to the station. She used to critique his top fives. I didn't know she was critiquing other people's work here.
Yeah, Fran's mom was wasn't she? She was critiquing my halftime report during the game.
Yeah, because she was talking about like Jaguar car, but she was actually wrong.
She was wrong.
Yeah.
What happened?
She thought I was mispronouncing the word Jaguar.
Jaguar.
No,
but
you
not
say
when
Jaguar.
You say it, when you say the car, it's Jaguar.
Jaguar. It's the same word. They actually draw that distinction?
Well, no, that's the way you're supposed to say it. No, thanks for listening to the halftime reports, Buzz. You're here during these games.
I'm getting mentally prepared to produce the third quarter.
Oh, yeah. very, 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 very. I see you always mentally preparing.
That's exactly right. I'm getting in the zone, locking in.
Let's go to Ken in Cinnaminson. What's up, Ken?
Good morning, gentlemen, and let me say happy holidays to all of you.
And thank you, Ken. I appreciate it. And Ken, I got to say, I find you very intriguing after your call the other day to the afternoon show. All I'm wondering now is what you do for a living. I know you're not at liberty to say, apparently, but it was intriguing.
In 30 days, nothing, because I'm retiring at the end of the year.
Okay, well, you can reveal it to us then.
Listen, I'm gonna simplify this because, you know, for whatever reason, I'm not sure if other fan bases suffer from this. But for whatever reason, Eagles fans have envy of everything outside of here. So there's a whole contingent of people that think Dan Campbell's a better head coach than Nick Sirianni. for no apparent reason other than the fact that he's not the head coach of the Eagles. Nick Sirianni's record as a head coach, they were both hired the same year, far superior to Dan Campbell's as a head coach. And Nick Sirianni inherited a 4-11-1 football team with a disaster at quarterback that was unfolding at the time. So here's why the Eagles are the best team, and I really do expect them to win out. They can do to the Ravens, they can do to anybody, what they did to the Rams on Sunday night last week. And here's why. It's as simple as this. Fantasy football has so infected the minds of young guys who have never lived in a world before fantasy football. So they get these impressions of what's really important. What's really important in football has not changed. Philadelphia Eagles are the best team in the NFL on the line of scrimmage, on both sides of the line of scrimmage, and it's not close. It's why they won the Super Bowl in 2017, even after their starting quarterback, who was playing at an MVP level, went down. And it's why they're the best team in the NFL right now. Not only do they have the best roster, not only do they have a head coach who so infrequently loses regular season games that if he loses more than one in a row, we want to fire him around here. Not only are they the best road team in football under Nick Sirianni, which they are, but they are the best team in the NFL at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, you watch this offensive line play, and I hear people talk about, well, who, you know, Detroit's offensive line might be better than Philadelphia's offensive line. That is a joke. You can watch all 31 other teams in the NFL, every snap of their offense for every game. You will not see any other team in the NFL running dual traps at the line of scrimmage. They're running traps on both sides of the center so that the running back can pick which side he wants to go through. That's Jeff Stoutland, and that's the ability of the offensive line that they have, the guys that they have up front. And that's why they can do to any team in the NFL what they did to the Rams Sunday. And I am not at all worried about the Baltimore Ravens. They're a good team, but they are not nearly as good as the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, and I agree, Ken. And this is a big part of what you're talking about here. And when you look at that offensive line, and I agree, like what they did to the Rams, I don't see any reason why they can't go to Baltimore and dominate up front. I mean, this offensive line, and the Eagles have had great offensive lines for years. This might be the best one they've had yet. It's incredible.
And that Rams front that they pushed around like they were playing a JV team, that Rams front is better than this Ravens front that they're going to play on Sunday. And that Rams front is better than the Lions front. And the Eagles' back seven, linebackers, secondary, are far superior to what the Lions put on the field. Far superior. So the Lions yesterday, look, I'm not saying the Lions aren't a good team. They're a really good team. And they've got a lot of talent. But, you know, you saw some next-level incompetence out of Matt Eberflus yesterday that every week he seems to outdo himself with the level of incompetence that he puts on display when it comes to managing the clock at the end of the game or the end of the half. And that's what saved the Lions yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to coronate the Lions and let's plan the parade route through downtown Detroit, because the Eagles are a better football team. And to me, it's as obvious as the sunrise.
Well, I got you, Ken. What do you got that's aged well?
You know, Jennifer Aniston still looks really good, and she's like my age. So
There you go, Ken. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Look at what you started, Fran.
Surprised he wasn't 29.
Well, this is what I was worried about with Fran. This is what I was worried about when Fran, you know, says Jennifer Lopez. Good answer.
We're going to get all women.
But now, I mean...
mine wasn't like egregious. Like, it's not like, oh my God, look, Fran, relax, dude. No, like, everyone says J-Lo. Like, honestly, let's be honest. I went with the layup answer, and that's what it was.
Right. But now I feel like we're just going to get, the answers of a lot of women that have aged well.
The second one was an hour and a half later.
Yeah.
That's try like that stuff.
Third answer, though. But, I mean, a good.
It was like an hour. We introduced it at 10:30.
A good answer. But nonetheless, is Jennifer Aniston not good enough for you either, Buzz?
Not good. It has nothing to do with them not being good enough. It's just a little out of my age bracket, okay, frankly. And out of Fran's, too, I might add.
Well, who cares? I mean, it was a good answer.
All right, fine. J-Lo.
TK is young.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm young.
37?
Yeah.
Oh.
Young.
That's it. Well, the way you said, I'm 37.
Yeah.
Well, he still tries to sell he's in his mid-30s.
Yeah, I am in my mid-30s.
No, late 30s.
I'm in my mid-30s. That's late, dude.
37 is mid. 38.
37.
36 is mid. 37 is late.
I'm 27. No. I'm in my late 20s.
I'll give you mid-20s.
No, you're doing that for you.
Yeah.
You're doing that for you.
It would be the same rule either way. We're either both in our mid mid-20s and mid-30s, or late-20s and late-30s. It can't be one for one and one not for the other.
You can call it late, I'll call it mid. How about that?
Sure, interesting. Yeah. I imagine by the time you get to your 40s, you'll be saying that 49 is mid-40s also.
You know what? I probably will.
By the way, I guess we're not hearing... You think Seth Joyner woke up today, heard the two of us, and said, I'm not calling these two idiots?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see if we're joined by Seth here. I think he probably heard you calling Sunday an acceptable loss.
He threw the phone
into the
wall.
And thought, who is this?
Are you soft like Dan?
That's exactly right. Jolly would call me soft. I might do this on the crossover with him tomorrow night.
I just hate this term. Acceptable loss.
I know. I was all ready to run it by him, and now he's ducking the call.
Because I know Elliot trotted it out a few weeks ago for the Cincinnati game, and then the Eagles win the game. It's like, no, it wouldn't have been an acceptable loss.
No, the Bengals, that was not an acceptable loss spot. Were there actually like 3-point underdogs against the Ravens, a team as good as them, with an MVP candidate, a quarterback, and a top five coach? Yeah, that's more of an acceptable loss spot.
This is the thing, though. I don't think the Ravens are as good as the Eagles. And I think Ken made a good point. We underrate the Eagles' front. Like, that offensive line is such a difference maker for a team. And it's why they're as dominant as they are. Like, Saquon's been incredible, absolutely. And Saquon deserves to be in the MVP conversation. Saquon wasn't doing this in New York last year.
No, this is the best year of his career. This is the best season by a running back we've seen in quite some time. I mean, in my lifetime, like that one Todd Gurley season, I think it was 2018, was unbelievable. Adrian Peterson and I think Chris Johnson both had MVP-type years, but it's really been few and far. Marshall Faulk, obviously, in the early 2000s. But that's the type of level of play we're seeing from Saquon Barkley, because, again, it's been more than a decade that a running back has won the MVP. For him to be this much in the consideration this late in the year speaks volumes to just how good he is, how good the team is.
Yeah, and the offensive line, I think, is a massive difference maker when you look at this team, and a big reason why I think they're going to beat the Ravens, and why I think they would beat the Lions, regardless where we played an NFC Championship game. Let's go to our buddy Bam in Upper Darby. What's happening, Bam? Bam. Come on, Bam.
Hello, Bam.
Hello.
Bam. Oh, Bam, there he is. Bam, yeah. What's going on? You're hanging out with Rob tonight?
Yeah, I'm hanging out with Rob tonight. All class reunion.
What reunion?
Class reunion.
Yeah, elementary school class reunion.
elementary school class reunion?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Hey, Dan, remember the other night I said to you, why do I have to wash my hands?
What? I said, why do you have to wash your hands?
Yeah. Remember I told you I said, wash your hands after you use the studio?
Okay, yeah, why'd you say that?
Because Jack Fritz, on Monday, I was listening, tuning into the afternoon show. Jack Fritz apparently doesn't wash his hands after using the bathroom.
Oh, that's a chickie. So he's contaminating down. Yeah.
Doesn't wash his hands?
Yes. Spike caught him. Number one, he went to the bathroom and then he went back.
No excuse.
He did not wash his hands.
No excuse. I mean, you gotta wash your hands every time you go to the bathroom. I make my 3-year-old washes his hands every time he goes to the bathroom.
Well, that's good parenting.
Yeah. Come on, Jack.
Yep.
What do you got, Bam?
All right, so I think it's going to be a tight game on Sunday. It's going to be a real, real tight game. And I think we're going to sack Lamar like 3 times. Lamar's going to get sacked 3 times, man.
Who's getting these sacks? Brandon Graham's out.
What's his name? Jalex Hunt.
Jalex Hunt? Jalen Carter? Yeah. Milton Williams? There's a lot of depth on that.
Big Jalex Hunt spot? How do we feel about Jalex Hunt the rest of the way here? Do we think he steps in and they just don't miss a beat?
Yeah, he's gonna show Lamar who's big pimping.
Well, there you go, Bam. What do you got for our side topic today?
I want to go. We're gonna keep it with Thanksgiving. Food wise, I have two: a food one and a J-Lo type thing. But the food one is gonna be cheese.
Cheese?
Yeah, cheese.
Okay, some cheese age as well.
Yeah, and the celebrity, I want to say, Heather Locklear.
Okay, Heather Locklear.
I told Fran, I said, I'm sending y'all pizza.
Oh,
send us a pizza.
Bam. Yeah. You don't need to do it, but appreciate it.
But you're not going to stop him if he does.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Bam. Bam's the best.
Sent us pizza before.
Right, because I was whining on the air because this is my fault. Like, if you missed it that night when I was on, it was Friday night. Now, we have a situation at the station where every Friday at 5 o'clock, the fridge gets cleaned out. And there's a huge sign on the fridge that says, at 5 p.m. on Friday, this will be cleaned out. I come in at 4:45, put my dinner in the fridge, gets thrown out. I'm crying on the air about how hungry I am. Call myself an idiot, not blaming anybody else. But Bam sends over a pizza. What a guy
he is.
What
a stand-up guy Bam is. Yeah,
the only person in Delco that likes me.
That's pretty
I like you.
All right, we're up to two.
You always say how much you don't like me.
That's because I love you. If I say I don't like you, it's because I like you.
By the way, Mike and I, Angelina and I, were texting. So they put up a sign this week, obviously short week with Thanksgiving. They put one up that they were going to clear out the fridge on Wednesday at 5.
Uh-huh.
So we were taking bets because you were obviously here for your 6 o'clock show and the halftime report for Turkey Bowl on Wednesday.
Yep.
And we were taking bets whether you'd bring in an early Thanksgiving Eve dinner and have it taken out of the fridge with the new altered schedule of Wednesday.
Oh, I thought about that. I didn't put my food in the fridge for that reason.
Oh, that's a good way to make the adjustment.
Yep.
Good job.
Yep, I've adjusted, and I'm growing in that sense. Maybe not physically.
No, in the other,
sense.
Gotcha.
By the way, Heather Locklear, not bad answer.
Yeah, no, yeah. Not a bad answer. Look at where you started.
I said bad answer. No, not a good answer. I love Bam.
We're not going to get into that. What?
Fran's got some weird.
You don't think Heather Locklear's aged well?
Not a fan.
Sports Radio 94 WIP, TK and Buzz, Tom Kelly and Dan Wilson with you, filling in for the midday guys today. Time to get the Christmas spirit. Black Friday.
Up a tree.
I've not put up my tree yet.
Will you be putting up a tree?
Of course I'll be putting up a tree.
I don't know.
He seems like a Grinch. So,
well,
yeah.
I have kids. I got to put up a tree. And everybody puts up a tree. Come on, what are you talking about, Buzz?
I could see if your kids and your wife wasn't pushing for it, you could be like, we skipped the tree this year.
I mean, I might be anti-Christmas, but I will put up a tree.
But you will put up a tree.
Yes. Now the dilemma that I'm running into here, I think I'm going to need to decorate this year. I've never been a big, home decoration guy.
Oh, that is stunning.
And, but we're in this new house now. We're finally all settled. And my son really wants to decorate. Last year, we had basically one decoration. We had an inflatable, Christmas Yoda out on the front yard, which he really wanted to get. But this year, I think I need to get up on the roof and do the lights and all that stuff.
You're going to get up on the roof and do the...
Can
we get video of this?
I think I'm going to need to do it.
Can we get video of this?
No, you can't get video of it.
I mean, that would be excellent content.
No, but
I'm going to... What's the movie where the guy ties himself to the roof in case he falls off? And he's like dangling there?
I don't know.
There's some Christmas movie that I haven't seen in a very long time where the guy ties himself to the chimney.
Okay.
So in case he slips off the roof and he's just like dangling there in the window.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Regardless, seeing you, the thought of you putting up Christmas lights and getting into the holiday spirit. When are you going to do
this? I'm not a very handy person. Like, I'm not a handyman.
And we know your motor skills are subpar, too.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean that you've said on the air that your motor skills aren't where they need to be.
In second grade, I used to have to stay after class for handwriting help.
And
my cursive was illegible. But nobody even writes cursive anyway.
Well, so. you've also said that your wife won't let you wrap presents. Because you're
so... I'm not good at wrapping presents. Yeah, not good at that either. And not good at assembling things. Like, and this is the worst part of Christmas. And anybody with kids can probably attest to this. Maybe it's just me because I'm not good at it. But you buy these gifts, everything you got to put together, man, takes a long time.
You feel like a buy gifts that are already assembled type of guy.
Yeah, I would prefer to do that, but a lot of stuff you can't do it.
So you got to get things that are ready. So you're not wrapping gifts. You'll put the stuff on the roof. You're finally going to be of help there.
I'm going to have to do that.
But you're going to probably.
Need somebody to come over and help me. But.
Of course, you're going to have to get the tree soon because I
mean, we just have a fake tree. We're fake tree family.
You're fake tree family. So when are you going to get the fake tree?
We have a fake tree.
Oh, you already have it.
What do you think you do with a fake tree? You buy it and you keep it.
All right,
you're not returning it every year.
Okay, so you got the fake tree.
Stupid question,
Buzz. When are you going to put it up?
We're going to put it up probably in the next couple weeks. Get around though.
Next couple weeks, it's 4 weeks away.
Once it becomes December. I don't like the Christmas stuff before December.
You've said Black Friday. Now you're moving it back.
I moved it back.
December 1st or Sunday?
December 1st.
So it's going up Sunday.
You know what? And Sunday's not great either. We want to enjoy our football. Monday, December 2nd? Yeah. Monday, people can get into the Christmas
spirit. I mean, that is not like our own assistant program director, Ava Graham. November 1st, those Christmas lights were
well,
up.
I know.
She's very strict with her decorations.
Well, Ava is very, you know, bubbly personality, much different personality than me.
Has anyone ever said bubbly? Has anyone ever said bubbly and Tom Kelly in the same sentence?
Probably not.
Unless the word "not" was in between.
And you know who people have also said is not bubbly.
Who's that?
Seth Joyner. And if Seth Joyner were joining us right now, he'd be sponsored by Bet Parks. Every weekend, the Double the Spread boost for all users and one pro football game. Check the Bet Parks app Friday. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. They sponsor Seth Joyner's call. And if Seth were with us, he'd obviously be very bubbly about Christmas.
Of course.
And he would be sponsored by Bet Parks.
Yeah, I'm sure he listens to Mariah Carey all the time.
Absolutely. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Talking a lot about the Eagles today. And really, that game yesterday with Detroit and Chicago told me, hey, the Eagles are not far behind Detroit. And I think when we've looked at it this year, there's this idea that the Lions are this powerhouse, that they're this juggernaut. I don't think that's the case. I think the Eagles are a better team. I think if they played an NFC Championship game in Detroit, I'd pick the Eagles to win that game. But, Buzz, you didn't have the same takeaway, correct?
I do not have the same takeaway. I think the Lions are still the number one team. If I was putting out NFC power rankings right now, so not based on standings, but based on who I believe deserves to be the top-ranked favorite in the NFC, I'm still going with the Lions. I know they play in a tougher division. They got some tough games coming up. But right now, I think that number one seed is a big deal. They haven't really shown me anything. Like, yesterday was one of their first games all year for the Lions, that it felt like they really had a chance to lose late. And I know the Lions, you know, kind of flubbed it away there at the end. I think teams are allowed a clunker. It was a short week, weird spot, whatever. The fact that they got through, sometimes you have to escape close games like that. The Eagles have escaped their fair share of close games this year that they made closer than it needed to be. So I think the fact that they got away with a win still goes that way in the win column, and they have the inside track to, at the very least, tie with the Eagles and have a better conference record. It just feels like the Eagles are going to be not steep, but climbing a little bit more uphill than the Lions.
I just think the Eagles are a better team. I think when you look at it, and to me, the separator is the defense. Because offensively, both offenses are good. They've got the Sonic and Knuckles thing going on with David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, I'll take Saquon over that duo anyway. They got a good offensive line. Penei Sewell is one of the better offensive tackles in football. But Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff, I think are similar. The wide receivers, I slightly go Eagles. Nick Sirianni and Dan Campbell. We talk about Dan Campbell like he's some great coach. I don't think he's any different than Nick Sirianni. If anything, I'll give the edge to Nick Sirianni. And I look at the defenses. The Eagles' defense is better. And again, man, we don't watch them all the time. So I don't think we value it as much. And the Eagles will miss Brandon Graham, but the Lions losing Aiden Hutchinson is a monster deal for that defense.
So really quickly, I did want to get into that more of the Lions have been without Aiden Hutchinson and have been playing, you know, for you know, a while here without him. We have not seen the Eagles without Brandon Graham yet. And much like the Lions losing Hutchinson, the Eagles did lose their best pass rusher in Brandon Graham. I'm not saying Brandon Graham is on the level of Aiden Hutchinson. I'm just saying, you know, pound for pound, both teams lost their best pass rusher. So the fact that the Eagles, we don't know what this defense is going to look like without Brandon Graham. And this is a hell of a team to do it against, a hell of a quarterback to do it against in Lamar Jackson. Like, I think Bam said they're getting 3 sacks on Sunday. Where, like, I don't know, where are these sacks coming from? Like, I understand Milton Williams and Jalen Carter, and they'll put pressure on and Josh Sweat, they'll put pressure. But Brandon Graham was getting to the quarterback, like, better than anyone on the team this year. Like, someone's going to have to make that up.
I'm not going to tell you it's not a big loss, but I think when you look at Jalen Carter, and I don't think he gets enough love because it doesn't always show up on the stat sheet, but he's getting double teamed all the time.
Yeah,
and
he attracts a lot of attention.
Opening things up for other people. And when you look at Detroit, like, Aiden Hutchinson is their Jalen Carter. Like that's what he is.
He draws a lot of attention.
That's how much he means to that defense. And they're going to miss Brandon. I think they can overcome it, though. I do. I Nolan Smith's playing better. Josh Sweat's had a nice year. But I think where the Eagles really make up for it is those guys on the interior.
And I tend to agree. I think Fangio has done an unbelievable job I mean, it's just, it doesn't feel like they have a weak spot on this defense, quite frankly. For a while, it feels like they haven't had, when I say a weak spot, like a true, like, yeah, that guy stinks, or that guy who starts, you don't feel good about. Like, you feel pretty good as a general rule about that defensive unit. I do feel strong about them. I think they are able to move past this Brandon Graham thing, but it doesn't mean it's not a big loss, and it doesn't mean that the fact that the Lions have already had to adjust without Hutchinson and the Eagles are just now adjusting without Brandon Graham, like, it's a bigger loss for the Lions, but they've also had longer to adjust, so it could theoretically offset some of that.
Hey, I'm not going to tell you it's not going to hurt. It is, but I think it's something the Eagles can overcome. So you want to get in on Eagles versus Lions. Who would you take in an NFC Championship game in Detroit? You're welcome to do so. Also, Eagles-Ravens this Sunday. In a few minutes here, we'll have some sound from Vic Fangio talking about that Ravens offense. But do you think the Eagles need a statement win? Our side topic today, what's something that has aged well since my kids are now obsessed with The Wizard of Oz? And you two are going to love this text that I just get in this segment from my mom. She says, you're not getting up on the roof. Just decorate the trees out front of your house.
Wow.
So that's how little faith my own mom has in
me. So your mom doesn't want you going up on the roof.
Yeah.
But you're allowed to put up the lights and the fake tree?
Yes. I'm getting up on the roof. I'm a grown man. I don't have to listen to what my mom says anymore.
Wow. You're fighting back.
Standing up for myself.
Did you hear yesterday? So I had our buddy Dave Uram on yesterday, and he was getting an argument with his mom whether he was allowed to watch the Bears-Lions game at lunch yesterday.
What do you mean? Like, whether he's allowed.
Like, he was going over the nursing home where his grandma lives, and his mom was going with him. Uh-huh. And he texted his mom the night before, hey, I'm going to have the Bears-Lions game off of my phone. And she replied, you know, I'm doing a fake, like, Jewish mother voice here. Like, David, you cannot watch the game on your phone. Like, no. And he said it wasn't received well.
Okay. Well, I hate to side with you, Ram, but, you know, I don't like the idea of, we're at the dinner table or something, we can't have the game on. You can have a game, you can multitask.
I'm just saying it's funny that his mom was pushing back on, you guys are the same age, his mom was pushing back on him. They wanted him to focus more on the presence of his grandma and his mom, not on sports. And here you are, your mom's telling you can't go on the roof.
Your moms are always going to have opinions. That does not change, no matter what your age is. Let's go to Todd in Virginia. What's up, Todd?
Hey, Tom. I'd say besides the gamble of signing Devin White and Bryce Huff, that Howie Roseman and Vic Fangio are not getting enough credit for putting together a fabulous defense through, you know, the first so many games this season.
Well, Todd, I'll let you continue, but it's just funny. I just wanted to mention something real quick because you bring up Devin White. Because I'm watching the Texans the last couple weeks, and Devin White's actually playing well for them. I think that's less of an indictment on Devin White and more an indication that N'Kobe Dean and Zach Bond are just really good the way he's played.
That is a great point. Great point, Tom. I do think you're getting out over your skis a little bit too much, given the fact that they've only played three winning teams this year. And I think you need to reserve your judgment on the Eagles' defense until after Sunday. And one thing that's not being talked about at all, at least that I haven't heard, is that Lamar Jackson is 23-1 against the NFC in his career.
I have heard that stat for what it's worth. I actually played in one of our sports updates just before the show. He has an unbelievable record against the NFC. I don't know what really to attribute to that other than those are teams who are theoretically less familiar with him. But it's like in the 2024 in the NFL, every team's got film on everybody. That seems a little more fluky to me than just... It must just be the fact that these guys don't get a upfront look at him as often as some of the teams in the AFC. But there's an element of luck and flukiness to that too.
And the irony of that is the only loss he has is against Daniel Jones of the New York Giants.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's one crappy reason to not be undefeated against the NFC.
Yeah, so I think a couple keys for the game on Sunday. Whoever is going to be spying on Lamar, whether it's Zach Baum or N'Kobe Dean, I think, you know, preventing those off schedule plays, you know, that prevent Lamar from getting a, you know, 20, 40, 60-yard run downfield. I think that's the key to the game.
Yeah, no, Todd, and appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. And yeah, I mean, that's going to be a huge part of it, is kind of containing Lamar Jackson, because he's got incredible playmaking ability. Like, there's no question about that. And let you hear a little bit of Vic Fangio. Here's Vic Fangio, Eagles defensive coordinator. First off, just talking about this Ravens offense.
He's had great success against your defenses in particular. I think his numbers are off the charts.
Well, thanks for reminding me.
Well, do you have, for lack of a better term, nightmares about him? Just, again, how aware are you of that?
Yeah, he's – their whole offense is dynamite. You know, they run it great. They throw it great. They got good receivers. They got the best group of receivers they've had there in a long time. Two really good tight ends. Their line is blocking good. You know, it's no accident they have the number one offense in the league.
And hey, they've had a great year. I mean, they've been pretty impressive offensively.
High praise. Vic Fangio has been around the block a little bit, both in the NFC and the AFC. I think he's quite familiar with. I don't think it's going to be anything he hasn't seen before, but I think he also understands the task at hand here, and kind of to what our last caller alluded there, as good as they've been so far this season, they've only played, what, three winning teams, whatever it is. They haven't seen an offense or a quarterback like this all season long. It's by far, I think, the biggest test that this defensive unit will see maybe all season long.
Yeah, and one of the big tests is going to be getting Derrick Henry down on the ground, because we look at Saquon Barkley. Derrick Henry's had his own renaissance in Baltimore. Here was Vic Fangio talking about the running back.
With Derrick Henry, what has he done to complement Lamar? Because a lot of people looked at that before the season. Didn't see him as that gun-type runner. Why do you think it's worked so well?
Well, they don't get in the gun all the time when Henry's in there. They're under center, probably more than they were last year. But Henry's done well out of the gun, too, running the ball. So everybody thought he was descending. They were wrong.
And, yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry, I thought it was going to be a weird fit with that offense, but Derrick Henry has not been
much of a weird fit at all.
No, a major difference maker.
He's been huge, and it's been cool to see, and we've talked about this a lot this season, how, like, the running back has really made a comeback in the NFL. Like, a lot of more undersized linebackers, there wasn't a lot of attention on running backs being difference makers in the league. And it's been really a long time since, like, I was trying to think of on the air yesterday, the last time we've seen a running back matchup like this in the NFL. I mean, you got to go back to at least the mid-2010s, if not the late 2000s. Like, Chris Johnson and Arian Foster, you know, used to match up. I'm trying to think who else would have been running backs at this type of level, like two running backs at this type of level going at it. I think it's going to be really, really fun, but it's not as if that's the only way that's not the only way the Ravens can beat the Eagles. And I guess my biggest level of concern with the Eagles taking on the Ravens I think the Eagles are a little bit more reliant on Saquon than the Ravens are on Henry.
Well, and they showed the graphic last night. I mean, the rushing leaders in the NFL, Saquon and Henry, both 1,300 plus yards, and Brandon Jacobs, who's not even at 1,000 yet. Like, that shows
they're
you.
They're in a class of their own.
Yeah, that shows you just how crazy it's been. And here's one more from Vic Fangio talking about Lamar.
How has Lamar Jackson evolved throughout his career?
He's just getting better and better at everything that he was already really good at. Without getting in a long dissertation about him, I just think he's a very special player.
And, hey, Lamar Jackson is, and this is where I think it's going to be critical for the Eagles' defense in this game, is where Lamar Jackson, I think, has grown as a player, is he's not I think we think of him as like a runner. That's not what he's done a ton this year. What he's doing is he's buying time, staying behind the line of scrimmage, and making big plays down the field with his arm. And as Fangio said earlier, this is the best receiving group they've ever had. Zay Flowers, I mean, as much as we like to mock him, Nelson Aguilar is still not a bad player. That's where I think the Eagles need to be careful here, is not letting Lamar buy time, making plays down the field with his arm.
By the way, Josh Jacobs, not Brandon Jacobs, has not returned.
Oh, did I say Brandon Jacobs?
You said Brandon Jacobs. It took me a second to process, and it clicked with me when we were playing that cut.
Okay.
Josh Jacobs is with the Packers. Brandon Jacobs played for the Giants more than a decade ago.
Yes.
To your overall point, like, Lamar, it's a little like early 2000s Donovan-esque, as you remember how he used to, I mean, I was young, I probably didn't have even the same level of appreciation for it, how he used to scramble. Like, it's, I don't know, is Lamar the closest thing we've seen to Michael Vick since Vick? Like
probably.
Like probably. Like yeah, that's probably how talented this guy is. He's going to be. It's maybe the worst week ever to lose your best pass rusher. Trying to keep that guy contained in the pocket or get a rush on him. Like, I just think it's going to be really, really tough. And I'm not going to lose like my faith in this year's Eagles team if they struggle to keep that offense contained and they lose a close game.
And this is where I think it's going to come down to a lot of those interior players. Is the best way you can keep a quarterback like that in the pocket, get pressure up the middle. Jalen Carter, Milton Williams, really big week for those guys. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Kathleen in Florida. What's up, Kathleen? Kathleen? Let's put Kathleen on hold. Let's go to Hulk Hoagie. What's up, Hulk Hoagie?
I talked to this guy yesterday.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
How you doing, Hoag?
Just wanted to say great job, guys. You stepped in for Hugh freaking Douglas, a Philly legend, and you're crushing it. Next man up.
Thanks, Hulk.
That's right. Just like Brandon Graham on Sunday, we stepped right in.
Yeah, and I think with Brandon Graham, you know, we lost him on the field, but he's not going anywhere. He's going to be in there in those guys' ears. And so for who steps up, I think Vic Fangio, right? Zach Bond, if you remember early on, he was getting after the quarterback and sacking him. So I think there's some things that we can do against the Ravens. I'm not too scared. And the defense is going to be key here.
Absolutely, the defense is going to be. As I said, I think it's their biggest test thus far. I think this is. And if the defense can keep this Ravens offense contained, if they can keep the Eagles offense in this game, then there's really no reason. If they can hang with the Ravens, Lamar Jackson's been the second best quarterback in the league this year. There's a reason he's the second best MVP odds. Like, if they can hang with them and contain them, then maybe only the Bills would this not apply to, but they should be able to contain and hang with any offense in all of football. And that especially includes the Lions.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, the numbers don't lie. Eagles, number one total defense. Ravens are, I think, at 24. We're number three in passing defense. They're 31. The Eagle defense is a force across the board. We got elite pass coverage with Quinyanimo Bay, Cooper DeJohn. I think it's going to be acceptable loss is a crazy thing to say.
Thank you, Hulk. There's no way a guy named Hulk Hoagie
and from Eagle superfan as a city would thought that this was an acceptable loss.
Yeah, Hulk Hoagie, there's no way you think that an acceptable loss is a real term, right?
No, the only acceptable loss would be my coworker who's been flapping his gums about the Detroit Lions all day. Okay, I'm out in the parking lot eating my lunch like Nnamdi Asamoah.
All right, Hulk Hoagie, what has aged well?
One thing that aged well is when the Eagles, quote, unquote, overpaid for Saquon Barkley during the offseason.
Yeah, appreciate it, Hulk. Yeah,
Is it fair to say Saquon Barkley's contract has aged well 11 weeks into it, though?
Yes. I mean, the contract,
it's a great contract. It's a five-year contract.
It's a three-year contract.
Sorry, three-year contract. But in year one of a three-year contract, not 5 years, sorry. I've been thinking so much about Embiid. In a three-year contract, like, you can say 10 weeks in or 11 weeks in that's aged well?
Yeah, I mean, nobody would have thought that they would have gotten this bang for their buck immediately from Saquon. So I think you could say it aged well already. Sure.
I think it's been worth it. But I think for it to physically age well, it has to be at least in the latter stage of the deal.
Okay. There we go with
well, for something to age
buzz,
well,
you need to pick it apart.
For something
it needs to
age be
phrased
well,
correctly.
For something to age well, it can't be something that like happened this year.
What has aged well, though? It's only been a few months, but it's aged well, that contract.
So if he has a bad, like, let's say, I don't think this is going to happen. Let's say he was bad next year and the year after that. Would that contract have aged well?
I don't know.
It hasn't aged yet.
Fine. So answer from Hulk Hoagie.
By the way, TK, your worst take of all time. Remember that?
What was my worst take? Yeah. I mean, it was terrible opinion. I thought that the Eagles made a mistake by signing Saquon Barkley. That take has aged horribly. So I think it can age well, can age poorly.